Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up as an army brat all over the world. For 35 plus years, he's wowed audiences worldwide as an entertainer, singer, keyboardist, and one-man band. He and his wife, Karen, have raised 5 children and are now in the process of adopting a 13-year-old special needs Chinese boy. The pastor of Risen Christ Lutheran Church, his name, Rennie Kaufman. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Rennie Kaufman, the pastor of Risen Christ Lutheran Church. Rennie, welcome. What an honor to have you.
Thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you and everybody listening.
This being Father's Day, can you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
That would be a privilege. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O perfect God and Father, unconditional in love, whose mercies are new every morning, bless those listening to this program. Meet each one spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, as they go through this journey of life. And especially, bless our fathers with the wherewithal to do their jobs and ministries for their families and others. And bless our time this evening on this radio broadcast. Amen.
Rennie, you were an army brat, and you and your family traveled all over the world till you were 18. Talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad.
Well, I was born at a very young age. My first 6 months or so was here in the United States, Massachusetts and New York. Then went to Germany. Was there for about 4 years where my brother and sister were born. Came back to the States with a cute little German accent. There's a tape somewhere of me singing, Danke schön, bitte schön, wiedersehen. Ach, ein Bier, kommen Sie hier, große und kleine und nicht verstehen. I wish I could sprechen Sie Deutsch. And I got this little tape of me doing that somewhere. My dad was a military officer in the Army and married a beautiful, beautiful woman who is my mom. And my dad is a hero. He was in Vietnam a couple of times. We traveled to Europe at a young age, then came back to the States, moved around 5, 6, 7 times like a typical military family. And I ended up going to high school in Iran for 4 years. My dad was a military advisor over there. And everywhere I went, my father and my mother, who were very musical, we had music in the home all the time. My dad played the ukulele and sang when he'd come home from work. And at different parties, I remember my mom taking my sister and brother and I out of bed and having us sing a few songs. And my mom also had TV shows, radio shows, wherever she went. She's still, in fact, an actress. She'll sing with me occasionally and in church and so forth. And so they both came from a long line of lots of musicians, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so forth.
Where did you get your love for music?
Both my parents were and are very musical. My mom still sings and performs at church. She used to have radio shows, TV shows when we lived overseas. My dad came from a long line of musicians, but he went in the military instead, but still kept his love for music. There was a lot of music going on in our family constantly.
Rennie, music is the universal language. How do you explain the magic and the power of music worldwide?
Well, the first thought that comes to my mind is, I wish I could remember the quote exactly, but even Martin Luther had talked about the power of music, likening it almost to how the Holy Spirit works in someone's life, where this unseen force can move a soul.
You've played all over the world. You've played a lot of famous gigs. One night you played at Oprah's. She was throwing a birthday party for Dr. Maya Angelou, her 70th birthday party. Tell us about that night.
Well, actually, she hired me for a week and brought my brother, Mark, along. And we were on a yacht, actually quite a large boat, Seabourn Pride in the Caribbean, for about a week and performed day and night for them and just had a blast doing all kinds of music, performances. I had a chance to perform with different people like Quincy Jones and different other people that just escape my mind right now. Yeah.
You've lived and performed all over the world. What do all peoples have in common, Renny Kaufman?
Moms and dads, families, love. A love for music also. I'd say those are three common denominators. Even though music here in the West is quite different than music in the Middle East, they add a lot of extra notes in between the notes that we use.
I've had the great honor and joy of listening to you in a lot of different places. And people will come up to you and say, Renny, play this song. And you say, well, let me think. I haven't played it in 30 years. Let me think. And 15 seconds later, you start it and you sing it. How can you remember the notes and the words?
Well, that is truly a gift that it took me into my 40s to realize that gift from God. I thought, hey, anybody can play music and sing, and you know, if they work at it. But certainly, it is a gift that is amazing, and it is also equally amazing that, you know, occasionally my wife and I will joke. She'll say, "Honey, you can do all this stuff, and you remember all these details and songs, but you forgot Garbage Day."
Here's Renny performing a piece of "If I Were a Rich Man."
If I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard.
Renny Kaufman, If I Were a Rich Man. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of West Bloomfield. A fine tin roof with...
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Renny Kaufman, who's the chaplain at Wellspring Lutheran Services. He and Karen have 5 children. And recently, they sent me an email on their own to tell me about their dad. And here's what Esther had to say. Dad's very humble, lots of fun, would and has done anything for his family. Don't tear up, Dad. You've had some great experiences in this 35-year career. And one night, 30 years ago, there was an old guy at the piano bar.
Yes.
Renny, tell us that story.
Well, I was playing at an Italian restaurant, and there was a group of guys at the that used to come in quite often, ask me to sing and play songs. Well, one night, a tall gentleman came over to me and said, "Hey, kid, you play really good." And he took out a $100 bill. Okay, this is a lot of money back then. Hey, now it's still a lot of money. He took out a $100 bill, and he pops it in my tip jar, and he says, "Hey, you play real good, but can you shut up for about 15 minutes? I turned to Tony, the owner. I said, "What should I do?" And he says, "Shut up."
Dr. Payne.
Well, about in my 30s, ever since I was a kid, I was thinking about going into, I always wanted to help people. I was the kid that, you know, would get the snot beat out of him because he was trying to break up fights on the playground. And I always wanted to help people. And I thought that my call was to go into medicine. And in my 30s, I thought seriously about going to medical school to become a PA. And there was a Christmas party downtown for a gentleman named Dr. Payne. And he understood what I was going through. I was, you know, we had five kids, and I was praying to the Lord, what was it that he wanted me to do? And he came over and placed his hand on my keyboard after a short conversation with him. And I was playing right in the middle of his party, and he placed his hand on my keyboard and said, "Rennie, you already heal people." And it's a phrase in my memory banks that I go to often. It was a wonderful gift that Christmas.
One time we were having lunch, Rennie, and I said, "You've performed all over the world on world-class yachts, ballrooms, famous people. What's been the greatest gigs?" And you surprised me with the gigs about going to nursing homes and playing at Christmas time.
Well, I have a really nice collection of very expensive keyboards. And one of my favorite gigs is taking my little $150 Casio or Yamaha keyboard with batteries in it, pulling up alongside the bed of someone who might be a shut-in, going through therapy, perhaps in hospice, some kind of a care, maybe even depressed. Many of my friends will say, "Hey, can you come and visit mom or dad or grandpa?" And I'll come to their houses and spend maybe 20, 30, 40 minutes singing their favorite songs. I remember one Christmas I woke up in the morning kind of sad. I was tired of about Christmas all being about me and being about this and getting that and so forth. And I asked my children, I said, "Hey, guys, would you mind coming with Dad over to a nursing home?" And actually it was called then Lutheran Home in Livonia. Now it's Wellspring Lutheran Services. And they said, "Sure." So all the kids brought their instruments and went with Dad and spent... We thought we were just going to be there for a couple hours. We were there for almost 7 hours. We sang in all the different cafeterias, sang Christmas songs and so forth. But then I found out there were a lot of people stuck in their rooms. And I said, "Do you mind if I go?" And my children would gather around each bed, lay their hands on the bed, and we would pray for each person. And we would start singing. And it's amazing. You had mentioned something about memory, how words can come back in an instant. Well, there were these miracles taking place. People that you would think are, you know, totally not with it, not there. You begin singing songs like, "Oh, come, all ye faithful." Their lips start moving, and they begin to sing every single word with you. I remember that. I don't know if it was that particular Christmas or another one, going to Wellspring, and there is a lady on a bed, and someone had mentioned that I didn't need to, you know, spend some time there because she's not going to get anything. And I said, "No, that's okay." My kids all gathered around their bed. We prayed with her. I said, "God bless you. Merry Christmas." And she was making some noise, but we couldn't understand what she was saying. And I started singing Christmas songs with my kids around her. We prayed with her, wished her a Merry Christmas. And as we were walking out, and it was late in the day, my kids had not even opened their Christmas presents. And they were hungry, and everybody was hungry. We were about to walk out of the room when I heard a sound come from her. I turned back. We all came back in the room. I leaned over her. And with all the strength she could muster, I heard the words, "Thank you." And it was probably one of the greatest Christmas presents, other than my own salvation, that I've gotten on a Christmas.
If you want to learn more, www.Rennie, Kaufman, Kaufmann.com. Rennie, you and Karen have raised five children.
Four boys and a girl. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, girl.
And Karen has homeschooled all of them through high school.
Yes, she is the saint in this relationship.
Tell us, you've really been blessed.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest blessings was when God gave you Karen.
Amen.
Tell us about Karen.
Well, I was working for, I don't know if you want to go this way, this far back, but I was working for Eastern Onion Singing Telegram Service, and I was asked to sing a telegram at a for a gentleman had sent me to his wife, who was actually going through labor, and I was asked to sing. So I pop in this room and I sing some songs to her, crack a couple of jokes, run downstairs, go to another telegram. As I'm pulling out of the parking lot, boom, I smack into a car. It's my wife, my future wife. We met by accident. and it was a couple of days before Thanksgiving. She had called me. I gave her my card. I said, I'm on my way to another singing telegram. It was Eastern Onion I was working for. This is, you know, 1981. And I gave her a card, and she called me the next day. We started talking, and I found out that she was pulling out of the hospital. It happened to be one of the saddest days in her life. They were given the news that her father had only about 3 weeks to live. But God gave us another 9 years with him. Total miraculous thing. And anyhow, she became a very close friend of mine. I found out that they weren't doing anything for Thanksgiving, so I made a huge Thanksgiving meal, and you'll have to hear her side of the story sometime over lunch, but I brought it over to her house. There was a piano in the room, in their living room. I walked in the living room after dinner. I said, oh, there's a piano. I started playing, and her mom, who had been, you know, pretty sad for a few days, walked down the hallway. Finally, she ate a few things, sat down, and I started playing songs like It Had to Be You and all the stuff from the 30s and 40s, the stuff that she liked, and that was the beginning of our relationship.
Rennie Kaufman, here is performing Conte Partiro.
Well, that's close enough, but I know you like Italian food, but this is how it's pronounced. Conte Partiro.
Paesi che non ho mai veduto e vissuto con te, adesso sì li vivrò con te, partirò su navi per mari che io lo so non esistono più. Io li vivrò quando sei lontano, sogno l'orizzonte, manca le parole, e io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me, e io sogno e tu sei qui.
And I'm Jack Grissel, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Tsunami per mari, che io lo so, non esistono più, con te ho lì.
This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're talking to Rennie Kaufman. And here's what his 21-year-old son, Isaac, has to say about Dad. My dad is bigger than life to all of us. He loves, in capital letters, loves people, can speak some of almost every language, and has experiences no one else has ever had. Rennie, speaking of experiences no one else has ever had, you and Karen raised 5 children, and then you decide to adopt a 13-year-old special needs Chinese boy. Tell us about him, and why are you doing it?
Well, this one is really close to home. All these questions you're asking. For over the years, my wife and I had talked about the possibility, hey, you know, if we didn't have kids, you know, before we got married, maybe we'd adopt or foster. Well, God blessed us with 5. And over the years, we've been open to that, but never really intentionally looked at it. For a few years, my youngest two, Luke and Esther, wanted to go on a longer-term mission trip for about a month or so, and they had been searching for something, and they came up with this trip to China, to a place called Shepherd's Field Orphanage, and God put this on our radar, and the plans came together, the funds came together, and off they went last summer for a month to work in a special needs orphanage. And I was joking with my wife, of course. I said, so honey, make sure that you come back from China with the same amount of kids. Well, when she returned home, she joked with me. She said, honey, I listened to you, and I did, but I put one on layaway. And his name is Su Qian, and I probably have pronounced it wrong. My daughter, Esther, who's taking Mandarin now at Schoolcraft College, she'll correct me, of course, when I get home. But we will be calling him as soon as he comes to our home to his forever family. We will call him Matthew, Gift from God.
Well, here's Karen's version. She mailed too, and she says, Jack, when we decided to adopt, Rennie immediately said, why don't we do a twofer? Jack, you're such a generous and compassionate man, and who knows, we may end up adopting 2 teenage boys. So that's the truthful story, Rennie.
Amen.
When your son Kyle was 4, he said, Dad, let's go for a walk. And tell us what you did.
Well, I had walked out onto the porch. It was a beautiful sunny day, the way today began, actually. And he raised his little hand to mine, and I said, hey, do you want to go play with some toys and stuff? He says, no, Dad, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a long walk. And so we did. That night, I recall around just after midnight or so, when musicians like me get inspired to write songs and lyrics and so forth, everybody was in bed. My son was upstairs. My wife was asleep. And I was in the rocking chair downstairs with a notepad. And in tears, I began to write. The other day, I took time out to play and talk with my little boy. Just him and I on the porch outside, he said, Daddy, we don't need toys. Then listening to his tiny voice, watching his eyes smile as he talked, he raised his tiny hand to mine and said, let's go for a long walk, Daddy. Let's go for a long walk, Daddy. I just want to be with you now. Let's go for a long walk, Daddy. We'll have fun. I'll show you how. There's time for other things after right now. I need to share some laughter. All I want is you with me. Let's go for a long walk, Daddy. Photos and memories of tiny hands, the echo of Bible songs. And now I recall how my parents spoke of how fast the years had gone. And now I ask, is all the work worth the cost of losing time with those smiling eyes and the precious tiny hand that now is holding mine? Someday, when he gets older, since I was always there, with time to talk and play with him and to show him that God and I care, he will say, I ask you, my Lord Jesus, when I need to walk and talk with thee, I'll raise my tiny hand to yours. You'll hold it and walk with me.
Rennie Kaufman. And Rennie and Karen have to pay $32,000 to the Chinese bureaucracy to get this special needs child. If you want to help them, because they don't have the money, and they've been doing food sales, etc., www.risenchrist.info. Rennie, I've often heard it said that the greatest thing a dad can do for his children is to love their mom. Why is that?
Well, first of all, right when you said that, my wife, Karen, is so easy to love. Another thing, too, I want to say is that I heard from a gentleman one time. They'd been married over 60 years. He was at the home, and he was rehabilitating. I saw his beautiful wife sitting next to him, and I asked, "So how long have you been married?" And he looked at me with a smile and a twinkle in his eye, and he said, "Not long enough." I believe that it is, first of all, from a Christian perspective, it is a picture of Christ and the church to love sacrificially. And I have not, I've failed so many times, but forgiveness, my wife has learned to forgive me. I've learned to forgive her. And sometimes we'll have to forgive for not forgiving quick enough sometimes. But it is so important, I believe, not only to build each other up, because we are going through this journey together, and it's for life. It is for life. And so not only for us, but also to demonstrate to our own children a legacy of faithfulness and of love and sacrificial love, doing the right things whether you feel like it or not, saying the right things whether you feel like it or not, and when you fail, learning how to give and receive forgiveness. But then also, it's important to demonstrate what true love between a man and a woman is in this world that is redefining everything. And so I believe those are some of the answers that you're perhaps...
4 years ago, my dad died, 94 years old. You met him. Amazing man.
Yes.
And I was with two friends, and one friend said, "Well, Jack, now you're an orphan." And the other friend said, "No, Jack, your real father is our Heavenly Father." Here's Rennie performing a little bit of "How Great Thou Art."
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
"How Great Thou Art" by Rennie Kaufman, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and here's what Rennie and Karen's youngest son, Luke, had to say.
Oh, no.
"Dad has always cared enough about us to discipline us and to give us boundaries." Rennie, it's working. We're talking to Rennie Kaufman, the pastor of Risen Christ Lutheran Church. Rennie, for 35 years, you're a world-class entertainer all over the world. Beautiful people, beautiful spots. And then you decide to become a pastor. Why?
Well, ever since at a young age, I felt the tug into ministry. And over the years, it became a tug of war with God. And if I could illustrate it somewhat like this, I'm walking along the path that is by this river of ministry. Everybody's called, even a vocation, any vocation really is ministry. But as far as the Office of the Keys, the pastoral ministry, there were times that I would dip my toes into the water and kind of walk out again, maybe go knee high and come back out. And I was always involved in music ministry. I was on several church staffs as a music minister. But the call to pastoral office, finally, it felt like as I turned off the engine to myself and I prayed for God's will, and I sought it. I believe that the Holy Spirit took me by the shoulders. This is the kind of the feeling, and plopped me into the middle of this torrent water that now is pushing me along. I remember a couple of months before I was ordained, my pastor and friend, Randy Duncan, when I was over at Living Word Church, he had mentioned when I was vicaring there, he had mentioned that there will be a time that you will feel the weight of the stole. And I certainly did, and I do now.
Tell us about Risen Christ Lutheran Church.
These are beautiful, beautiful people that I have been called to serve. One of the questions they asked me at one of my interviews was, what do you want Risen Christ to be known for? And I thought of all of my theological answers and all the things that I had learned in seminary and throughout life. And it really, the only words that came to my mind are really what I want my children and myself to really live out is it's really all about love, how God has loved us and loved others. So I would like Risen Christ to be known for how we love.
www.risenchrist.info. One of your most basic beliefs, and I quote you now, use things and love people, not vice versa.
Amen. I heard this, something similar to it, years ago in my youth, and it's come now, and I'm in my 50s now, and that's what I recall, and I've tried to instill that. You know, it's everybody has nice little sayings and phrases. You know, some of them turn into cliches, but this one really connects with my life, where I've seen so many sad people, particularly the older they get, clinging to stuff, when at the end of the day, really, it's how we have loved others and God. He loved us first. And the whole summary of all the commandments, really, is, I call it the double law of love. Love God and love others. And how that plays out in my own life and in my own ministry and with my children, and I've not done it perfectly, is learning how to use things and love people and never the other way around. And there's often times where I will say, is this a thing or is this a person? And where I have to, and I will use that as a measuring stick in order to make a decision.
Rennie, a lot of dads today are fearful. And one of the things they're afraid to do is stand up to their kids when the kids are doing wrong. Mm. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us that confidence. Talk to us about the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Well, oftentimes in Christianity, many people think him kind of the low guy on the totem pole. But as a Christian, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, in the Christian theistic worldview, they are all co-equal. There's no one higher than the other, and each has a task and a job and a personality within the Godhead. And without getting into the whole Trinitarian things, the Holy Spirit points to the Son. The Father points to the Son. and the Son points to the Father. The Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, people come to faith. It's a free gift of God. And the Holy Spirit drives us to do God's will.
You've retained a childlike curiosity and a zest for life. How can our listeners get that back?
To love others, to use things, and to love people, and to learn how to be in the moment. Somewhere along the line, around 7 or 8 years old, I heard this when I was taking classes at Second City, that we lose the ability to make believe. But to meet people where they are, to learn how to get on our knees and meet people where they are at different ages, I believe, and being open to that.
As our time winds down, can you leave us tonight, Rennie Kaufman, in a closing prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I lift up all children listening to this broadcast. Some have good memories, some have sad memories, some have angry memories of their fathers, some have had no fathers and no relationship. O Father in heaven, you are the perfect Father who meets all of us where we are. You meet each one of us where we are. You offer more forgiveness than we will ever have sins. You have never been caught off guard with what we have done in this life. You who sent his Son to live and to die for our sins, meet each one of us where we need to be met in this life and grow us into the people that you want us to be and the lights in the world that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rennie Kaufman, most people know you as a world-class entertainer. More importantly than that, you're a world-class dad. Thanks for all you do. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoh.
Believe in yourself.